Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Oh, thank God it's here.
Just sitting here.
Because honestly, I don't know what we would have done. It's getting a little awkward, that silence right there. Really awkward minute.
Hey, everyone, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where together we try to make today make sense.
I'm going to get another tagline in there because none of us is as smart as all of us. I think the producers are like, yes, you got to say them all in this one show. In the top 8 seconds, you must say everything we ever came up with, buzzword-wise about this show. Anyway, I'm Cotton Rizdahl. It is a hollowed-out shell of a Thursday. I'm actually feeling not necessarily that hollowed out. It might change in the next 15 minutes, but I think right now I'm not so bad. Mm-hmm. Although, I don't know if you just heard that, I have a new laptop and it's making all these weird noises. It is driving me batty. Driving me nuts.
That was your laptop? I thought like a car honked as it went by.
No. It's making all these weird noises and I can't figure out how to make it stop. I have turned everything off. I've gone to sound, notifications, disabled everything, and it's still making these little bingity-bongity noises. Anyway.
The good news is emails with fixes are already on their way to you. I believe that is already occurring.
That's right. Yeah. They will be in my Twitter feed in mere moments.
The internet will fix this for you. Yeah, I had hollowed out shell Tuesday where I was like, God, is it really only Tuesday? And now I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, this
is felt
like a long week.
We are going to do the things that we do. Yeah, a little bit of news. Kai did not steal my news item. I was slow on the draw because I agonized about it all day. Like, is this the one? Even though it's obviously the most interesting story of the whole day. So I'll start with my lesser choices, which is mainly, you know how I'm obsessed with framing and the stories that we choose to tell and the way we frame them and who we let dictate the framing. And the kind of flip side of framing when it comes to disinformation and misinformation is amplification. Like what you decide to talk about gives a thing power, right? And so a big reckoning that the media has had to do is like, for example, all the free press that was given to Donald Trump, who was a master manipulator of the media, all the sort of blanket repeating of misinformation theories followed by a fact check after that, right? But it was like, you just repeated the lie over and over and over. Early on in this administration, we had George Lakoff, famous professor of linguistics and neurolinguistics, on to explain this concept. And so now there's this debate about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is, of course, the QAnon representative in the House of Representatives. And I think they're voting like right this second as we're speaking about whether to strip her of her committee assignments, because, of course, she thinks that school shootings were hoaxes and everybody involved was actors, that a Jewish space laser started the California wildfires and has liked a bunch of posts that basically said Nancy Pelosi should be shot, and so on and so forth. So there's a somewhat predictable article today, and I've seen this sentiment elsewhere, that is sort of like, by talking about her so much and by Democrats focusing on how she shouldn't be on these committees, they're risking making her a star. And that would have the opposite impact, that this is that sometimes somebody on Twitter said to me, sometimes you have to put crazy in a corner. And so while I think there's a point at which that is true, I also was listening to the Axios podcast this morning, and they talked about a poll they have out that says that Kevin McCarthy, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who has sort of declined to do anything about Marjorie Taylor Greene so far. And then she herself currently have the highest favorable ratings among Republicans that they polled. And that Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney are way, way, way down. However, also in this poll, 51% of Republicans and Republican leaners said of Marjorie Taylor Greene, they don't know enough about her to say whether the impression is favorable or not. And I feel like that leaves people in a little bit of a bind, which on the one hand, you don't want to amplify. That's true. And you don't want to amplify conspiracy theories if you think it's going to draw more people to them. However, people don't know. And I tweeted about this actually just a few minutes ago, and I was saying, like, you know, maybe one thing we should do for framing purposes is when we talk about QAnon and the fact that, for example, an adherent of QAnon is now a member of Congress, we should definitely focus less on the parts that are kind of funny sounding, like global satanic pedophile cabal, right? Which you want to laugh at because that's it's so absurd.
That's the funny part?
I mean, it's the part that makes you go like, come on, right?
Yeah.
And
it
sounds ridiculous. Yeah. It's the maybe not funny. It's the absurd part. Good correction.
Right.
But that the part we should actually focus on for framing purposes and education purposes is the part about the storm, the prophecy of the storm, which is the mass execution of Democrats, members of the media, and celebrities that they think are members of that cabal. And so that when people say, we are the storm is coming, storm the Capitol, that behind those words is a prophecy of mass murder. And that for framing purposes, when we talk, you know, so I guess I'm sort of saying, like, I think there's a way to talk about this that lets a whole bunch of people who don't understand but sort of feel like, well, she's for Trump, so I'm for her, get the truth.
But the whole she's for Trump, so I'm for her gene, if you will, in this country in the last 5 years has proven, pick your analogy, drug resistant, resistant to fact, overwhelmingly powerful. It is stunningly powerful.
It is, yeah.
You know?
I totally agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But I also, like, in a time when we don't know what to do, I guess we should fall on the journalism thing, which is tell the truth. Mm-hmm. This woman thinks that Democrats should be rounded up and slaughtered.
Yeah.
That seems worth saying, even if it elevates. Because one does hope that even among the what was it, some large percentage of Americans, 17% of Americans or something, who believe in the QAnon conspiracies, one hopes that at least some of them don't realize that this is what the storm means. There were, in fact, reporting from Ben Collins at NBC News and Brandi Zadrozny, who have done great disinformation reporting, that said that as more information started to come out about QAnon, that they were like, guys, maybe pull it back on the satanic pedophile and the mass slaughter thing. Like, just like cool it, make it about saving the children, right? That they realized that there is in fact such a thing as bad press. And that it might be better to moderate the message. And so I guess I'm sort of saying, like, get to the heart of it, not the, like, headline part of it, and hammer it home and hope it helps.
Yeah. So mine is also about framing in a way, and it's in it's about framing and the liabilities that can be visited upon you if you do it maliciously, falsely, and with reckless disregard for the truth. And those are all legal terms, and I'm not a lawyer, but I mention it because I am fascinated by these lawsuits that are being filed by these voting technology companies. Smartmatic is the one today who filed, but Dominion Voting filed in the last week, 10 days, 2 weeks or so, against today it was Smartmatic against Fox News and Maria Bartiromo and Lou Dobbs and another of their anchors.
Jeanine Pirro.
And previously, Jeanine Pirro, right? And previously it's been Dominion Voting against Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani for billions of dollars in damages, economic damages that have been done because these people on the far outer fringe of reality said stuff like it was made in Venezuela and is being controlled by the Venezuelans. Everything you've heard Rudy Giuliani say about voting fraud in this economy and in this election has been said about Dominion Voting and Smartmatic. And I just think it's really interesting to see what is going to happen now, because these people are going to have to defend themselves. There will be discovery. There will be penalties. It's really, really fascinating. This lawsuit by Smartmatic, which was used in one county in this election, was 285 pages, listing all the specifics of things that Fox News and those three people said about this company. And it's an effort, I think, to get back to that thing we were talking about a minute ago, which is the truth, right?
Yep.
Let's go back to the journalism. Yep. Let's go to the truth and figure out what actually happened. And look, I'm under no illusion that Rudy Giuliani is going to get hit with a $2.3 billion settlement. But, man, it's going to be telling to watch and see how this all goes down.
It's interesting, too, because it already has been telling to watch. I don't know if you saw the Newsmax segment that was making the rounds the other day where they had Mike Lindell.
Yeah, they had the pillow.
Right, the MyPillow CEO. Yeah. On, and he came on and immediately started talking about the election results and Dominion voting machines changing the votes. Mm-hmm. And they've said that mm-hmm. Smartmatic also has, you know, I mean, in addition to the weird Venezuela thing, like the votes go in and then they get changed. the Newsmax anchor, and again, this is Newsmax, which is far right media, full stop. Anchor like busts in and immediately starts reading the statement that they have ready from their lawyers, which is like, we have not been able to verify this. There is no evidence that this is the, I mean, these lawyers are scary. And, you know, every article you read about these lawsuits quotes somebody saying like, yeah, they have a case. And It has actually proven them. And I mean, they shut Mike Lindell down, talked over him the whole time and essentially ended the segment.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a pretty effective deplatforming of that disinformation. So maybe there are a couple of ways to get to the truth.
Yeah, but wait. So two things. Number one, did you see that one of the anchors on that segment with Mike Lindell actually had the corporate disclaimer ready to go?
Ready. Yes.
Newsmax believes that the election was fairly won by Joe Biden. We do not believe the right. So the lawyers are in on that one. Then he gets up and he walks out, that anchor does, because he's like, I just can't take this anymore. But then the next day, Newsmax said, Mike Lindell is still going to be a valuable contributor to our work.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
What?
I mean, they're trying to walk the line. They're trying to walk the line. But at the end of the day, it's sort of a content moderation question. Like, you just can't. Yeah. You can't have a news network. You can't have an app. You can't have an anything where there is no content moderation. And what these Smartmatic company, you know, what this lawsuit says, I don't know if you read any of the filing, but it starts with the earth is round, 2 + 2 equals 4. Those are the first two sentences of this lawsuit.
That's great.
Because they're saying look, everybody knows certain things to be true. One of which is that Joe Biden fairly won this election. And that what they're claiming is everybody involved here knew it was true and trumped up this conspiracy anyway, and I mean, almost $3 billion? Like, that is serious.
Yeah.
I know. I'm fascinated by the story also. Plus, seriously, go read the, like, it's a mini Make Me Smile to read the complaint, or at least the first couple pages of it, because, wow!
Speaking of Make Me Smile, what a lovely segue that was. Okay, so I said I'd picked mine yesterday, and then this morning I found another one. So I've got two. They are both of a theme, which is the inauguration of the President of the United States, some 14 whatever the heck days ago it was. Number one, the cover of Time magazine is coming out this week with Amanda Gorman on the cover.
Our favorite.
In a yellow gown, which is reminiscent of the yellow coat she wore at the inauguration. She's being interviewed by Michelle Obama. And this picture just struck me. It is regal and amazing. And I commend it to everybody's attention. Tony Wagner, our digital analog producer, is going to put it on the show page. It's just really cool. It's really cool. And I'm going to read that interview with Michelle Obama, even though I don't usually read those kinds of interviews. So that's number one. Number two, and the one I'm more excited about, is the one I found yesterday. So I read on occasion a military website called Task and Purpose. And if you remember back Inauguration Day, I made a whole big hullabaloo about Lady Gaga, right? And how awesome I thought it was, better than J-Lo. Come on, right? Because it was. And that gown and the hair and how cool she looked and all this stuff. So Task and Purpose, which again is a military website, found the Marine captain who escorted her down the steps of the Capitol that day. And they did an interview with him. His name is Captain Evan Campbell, United States Marine Corps. He's 30 years old from San Antonio, Texas, and he's stationed at the Marine Corps Barracks in Washington, D.C. So he does a whole bunch of ceremonial things. And he tells the story of how this came to be. The day before, they were doing a rehearsal, and they said, look, Lady Gaga is going to have this big giant gown. Who wants to escort you down? Who wants to escort her down the stairs? And they looked around, and Captain Campbell says, they picked me, I guess, because I'm the biggest one, and they figured I could deal with it.
Aww.
So, Inauguration Day comes, All the ceremonial Marines are standing around. And about 15 minutes before he has to escort her down the stairs, Captain Campbell meets Lady Gaga. She comes up. And they have a little chit-chat. And then he says, and this is the part where you and I talked about this the night of, but met her about 15 minutes before they were scheduled to walk down the stairs together. As they stood waiting, Campbell noticed that Lady Gaga was beginning to look a little nervous. It just seemed like a very natural human thing to do, to look over and go, hey, you're going to do great. You always do well. You know, you're a performer. You're going to do great, Campbell said. It just seemed like she needed to hear a relaxed voice. Come on, man.
I know. Oh, my God.
This Marine Corps captain who's been to Iraq and who's been to Syria is on ceremonial duty escorting Lady Gaga in that giant dress down the stairs. And if you remember, you and I had this conversation about whether she was nervous or not. And I was like, no, she's Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she looked terrified.
Turns out she was nervous.
She even had him, she asked him to pray with her. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing.
Know.
And he was
and,
like.
And Captain Evan Campbell calmed her down and got her down the stairs. So.
And he was like, don't worry, Princess Gaga. You're going to make a great queen. Because remember, I said she also was clearly living her own coronation inside of her mind.
That is correct.
Just for anybody who didn't hear that
anyway.
That is absolutely delightful and charming.
And there are some absolutely lovely pictures of the two of them in this piece. So it's on task and purpose. Google it and you can find it.
Delightful. That is delightful. Yeah. I know that those of you in states that have snow, particularly on the East Coast and northeastern seaboard of this country, have had a lot of it. And it has not always been fun, especially if you're already feeling isolated and trapped at home, which is why the greatest thing I've seen today sent to me by founding producer Jenny Josephson, actually, or launch producer, was my favorite man, Chef Jose Andres, making cocktails with snow. Like, he's like, well, what are you going to do? You got to make some snow. And then, of course, Marissa and Donna were nice enough to pull some audio because it's the best.
Okay.
And then you're going to put some more of this. And then you're going to bring some more snow.
Some more snow.
And then some more of the powder. Where you get these powders, look for them. Dry powders of different fruits. And at the end, boom. What a mess. But look at it. It's beautiful.
Boom. What a mess. Boom. And then right after that, he's like, this is what you got to do right now. Like, you're covered in snow. And he's just out here in the huge snow pile and he's pouring, like, awesome. You know, he's got this, like, dried fruit powder and, like, a bunch of syrups and a bunch of vodka. Oh, my God. It's like a 4-minute.
That's awesome.
Delight. Delight. Love
he's
that guy.
He's a good guy.
Yep.
Changing the
That's
world.
That's it. Seriously changing the
world.
He's so great.
Changing the world. For real.
Yep.
Okay. We, we change the world 15 minutes at a time. Every day.
That's right.
An hour on Tuesdays.
Occasionally even 17 minutes. Ha ha.
We are back tomorrow. Economics on tap pour moi. Ms. Wood is going to be drinking something else. She's doing dry February.
So excited.
So all y'all pile in
Mock
if you want to.
Monk tail.
YouTube live stream starts at 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. Sign up for our newsletters, would you? We're taking a closer look at the minimum wage news coming out of Washington, which is going to be really interesting, I think. Perfect primer, by the way, for next week's deep dive on this program, where we will discuss the federal minimum wage and wither that, because it's in that bill, and who knows if it's going to make it to the end. Anyway, that's it. Marketplace.org/newsletter. Sign up, please.
Look at that synergy. It's like we talk to each other and stuff. Just so you know, the newsletter, by the way, all kinds of stuff in it that we don't talk about on the show. So check it out. It's new material. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner, who is so kind when I come to her at 3:20 and I'm like, can I have some audio from this Instagram video? Tony Wagner is our cyber producer. Bleep, bloop, blark.
Oh,
Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device. Look, we don't have Ethan. We need something. We need a bit.
That's right. Charlton Thorpe engineered today. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. And there we go.
Ooh, if I had some snow, we would totally do snow stonks, stonk tails, says Marissa. That's like impossible to say, by the way. Snow stonk tails.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's not impossible, clearly. I did it. I wish I had some snow now.
all over the country.
We need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.